This is not a comedy show. This is a herd immunity event. Thank you so much for being here. My Swedish experiment. I'm getting the vibe. I'm triple vexed. I got the Pfizer shot. I don't feel any different. Just strange urge to buy Microsoft products. It's very weird. We've been on tour for 8 fucking months. And this is the last show of the tour, the last show of the year. So thank you so much for being here. New Brunswick, New Jersey. I was in the parking garage looking at what cars you guys are driving. And I saw some BMWs, a few Teslas, a Benz or two, and I realized I should be charging a lot more for these tickets. Who the fuck are you people? Look at this diverse-ass group. This is a very fucking diverse-ass room. This looks like the opposite of a voting site in Georgia. You understand? This is like... I have notes. If I reference them, please don't find it unprofessional. Just remember, you only paid $30, okay? I know that's a lot of money, teachers in the room, but... it's weird that they have an Indian cop out front, right? Anyone else... Fucking Indian cop. You see this? He don't even look like a cop. He looks like some resident at UMDNJ just moonlighting. Times are tough as internal medicine resident, man. You know. I want him to shoot me. I do. I want him to shoot me just for the story. Indian cop kills Indian comedian. Whose parents are more disappointed? Be great. If I'm gonna get shot by the cops, I'm gonna ask to get shot in the knee. I'm in the market for a new knee. I am. I'm tired of these knees. I was playing basketball with these teenagers. Well, not really playing. I was just standing there. And every time they passed me the ball, I would shoot and I would miss. They called me No Mesh for 3 hours. It was whatever, man. Shooter's gonna shoot. Cop's gonna cop, Rittenhouse is gonna Rittenhouse, right? That's what. But listen, I should tell you all that I'm gonna tell some jokes tonight that might hurt your feelings. And hear me out, listen, if you don't like them, I'll treat it the way cops treat police brutality. I will conduct an internal review. And then blame the victim, okay? It's all your fault. Stop resisting the laughs. We're gonna have a great time, okay? Whose first time ever coming to a comedy show is this, ever? Clap, clap, don't. Your first comedy ever. I'm the first comedian you've ever seen. I'm the first ever. The first one ever. Good God. That's a lot of pressure. We saw Nimish Patel, now we only watch horror movies. Imagine I just ruined comedy for you. That would be fucking fun. Okay. Well, I have a surprise for you. I'm not going to do this whole set. I'm actually just stalling for Cosby. He's coming. Any moment now, he's going to hobble his ass in here. Would you stay if Cosby showed up? You would. I would stay. I'd cover my drink, but I would be here. It's Bill Cosby. Look, he's definitely a rapist, okay? Can I say that legally? He's definitely allegedly a rapist, definitely. But that's why you want him on stage. So you know where he is at all times. Okay? What if he showed up asking for stage time? I'll take what I can get. Yeah, the problem is, Bill, you take what you can't get either, motherfucker. And there's still people that support Bill Cosby. Felicia Rashad, the mom from The Cosby Show, still supports Bill Cosby. If she were smart, she'd open up a comedy club right now. Every single night, one surprise headliner. 8 drink minimum. He's definitely gonna rape again. He is. He's fucking 83 years old. They don't change as people. 80-year-olds don't change. He's not gonna learn new moves. He's not gonna side up to a bar and be like, hey, how's it go? How's your day going? You doing good today? No, it's just gonna be like, bloop, okay, time to wait. Bill Cosby. I have a very complicated history with Bill Cosby. You have to understand. I was introduced to him when I was 8 by my grandpa. My grandpa was not like the Ghislaine Maxwell of Cosby, but he was just, he sat me down when I was 8 years old, and he was like, Nimesh, this black doctor, he's hilarious. You have to watch him. And you don't understand what that means. My grandpa was born in 1926 colonial-ass India. For him to recommend a black anything, you have to understand the racism that Bill Cosby overcame in my grandpa's 95-year-old head. For him to sit me down and be like, this black guy, he's what you want to be like. But see, my grandpa was bedridden 10 years before he passed away. He had no idea what this black doctor was up to. And I didn't have the heart to tell him. I couldn't be like, hey, Dada, remember that black guy you love so much? Yeah, he's been raping people for like 60 years. Because my Dada would have just been like, I knew it. I ain't doing that, man. Listen, if you're here and it's like one of your first times seeing me in totality, whatever the fuck, please understand that to have a good time tonight, you have to understand that I'm a good person. I am. I'm a great human being. I actually started a charity recently. I was inspired by that gymnast, Simone Biles. Started a charity for women with mental health issues. It's called Bitches Be Flippin'. Now listen. Okay. All right. Now listen, if you're not laughing, if you're not laughing at quite possibly the funniest thing I've ever said, then it's going to be a very long show. It's been fun traveling this entire country because of this app called TikTok. Clap if you're here because you saw me on TikTok and you're like, I got to come to this fucking show. Okay, and how did you guys hear about the show? What's that? Google. I am the number one Google result if you Google Nimesh Patel. If you Google Nimesh Patel, it's this face that shows up. And I like that so much because it's got to piss off every doctor. Every doctor named Nimesh Patel is like, fuck this dude, man. We went to fucking med school and shit. All the fucking work you put in. That's Nimesh Patel? You're a doctor? What kind of doctor are you? You're not a doctor. Oh, what are you? He's a. Listen, I'll do the jokes, all right, buddy? TikTok is a wild technology. It used to be a sound. And now it's my career. It used to be a song. TikTok was a song. Remember that song, Kesha? What? Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy. What? What does a 21-year-old white woman know about waking up as a 40-year-old black man worth $500 million? Is that how good it is to be a white person? Just wake up and live the yacht life. That's what your life is? You're white, right? You run into these light-skinned Indian people sometimes. What the fuck happened to you? It's your first show ever. I'm your first comedian.
You are our mom for loved you and discovered you on TikTok.
TikTok. Brought her.
This her 62-year-old mom.
Thank you, mom. What a disturbing. Let me finish my sentence. What a disturbing distributor of attention deficit disorder TikTok is, in that it's got this 62-year-old woman addicted. Yes. You're on that shit every day. Just yes. What? You haven't used that your thumb that much in a long time. It's terrifying. What's your name, miss?
Cynthia.
Cynthia? It's also your first time at a comedy show. What's your name?
Nake.
Nake. Okay. And how'd you hear about the show, Nake?
TikTok.
She's a grown woman. How old are you?
23.
Okay. She's not 62, but... She's on TikTok. Nake, this young African-American woman, and you, Cynthia, you are white as shit. Look, this is how diverse TikTok is. It's fucking preposterous. Don't worry, I see all the Indians. Like, when is he going to talk to us? Relax. It's coming, okay? This lady right here. We came to be talked to, okay? This is... why are you talking to white women and black women? This is fucking Indian time. We paid $30 to be here. Relax. It's coming, okay? Don't worry. I've got to get everyone else out the way first. Indians will fucking wait. Indians will hear all the shit about them, and then when I start talking about something else, I'm like, all right, look, can we get the check? It's weird building a fan base because I stopped paying attention to comments because I hired a social media team. But before, I was reading comments quite a bit, and they drove me nuts because the most divisive clips do the best. If I put up some shit where I'm trying to unify people, I'm like, man, we all have this in common. People, man, fuck you, this shit is corny. But if I put up some shit where I insult Trump supporters, people go fucking bananas. Like, yeah, man, fuck Trump. Fuck anyone that supports Donald Trump. Fuck. I'm like, yes, keep arguing. Yes, fight more tickets for me. If I post something about Trump, I couldn't give a fuck less about Donald Trump. I go for the joke. The joke is the most important thing for me. Like, I will shit on Trump and Biden equally, but shitting on Biden now feels like you're making fun of someone in hospice. You know what I mean? Like, why am I gonna do that? Fucking cares, man. He's gonna die. I learned the 7 words you can't say on social media recently. It's I understand your opinion and respectfully disagree. You cannot say those words. I put some shit about Santa up, and this is my favorite time of year because this is when adults will argue about the race of Santa Claus. Adults argue the race of Santa Claus. I have news for you. Santa's not black. Santa's not white. He's Indian. Okay? His name is Sanjay Patel. He lives in New Jersey. And he smokes Newports. Okay? Okay? Santa. Fuck milk and cookies. Johnny Walker rocks, bro. You know, Nick, I've been all around this country. I was just in Texas. You been to Texas? No, yeah. Was that a woman who just clapped for Texas? How? Why? How as a woman can you still rep that state at all in the slightest? I went to Texas. I was in Texas so I could get some women pregnant, so I could snitch on them later. And... You guys are sucking soft as shit, man. You're a soft-ass crowd. You guys are softer than the foundation of a Miami high-rise. That's what you are. You are fucking soft. Yeah, that's right. I was debating whether or not I would tell that one, but it was on real shaky ground, that joke. But here we are. Yeah, I know. Did I double down? I did double down. It's been odd to build a fan base because fans will let you know how they feel. I've realized most of you are good people, but some are pretty entitled. And I get 2 big comments. One is, why is he always drinking something? why is he always drinking? People have a problem with hydration. Why is he always drinking something? Let me clear the air. Usually, it's Pellegrino. But I drink Pellegrino because it's Italian, and I'm trying to devalue the brand. Do you understand? I am. I'm trying to devalue the brand of Pellegrino because they're Italian, so I presume they're racist. Italians are a racist people. I'm not talking about Italian-Americans, but also Italian-Americans, but Italians from Italy, they are a racist people. To this day, they throw bananas at black soccer players. To this day, Italians will throw bananas at black soccer players. And so in March 2020, I was traveling, and Italians were really like a hotbed of the coronavirus, and I saw some Italians getting pulled off a security line at the airport, and it warmed my heart. As a brown man, to see Italians get pulled off a security line, I was like, ah. And then by some weird alignment of all the stars in the universe, I happen to have a spare cannoli on me, right? So I fucking threw it at him. I was like, how do you like it now, huh, Fredo? Fredo is the N-word for Italian people. Word? Is it really the N-word for Italian people? You can't go to Olive Garden and say, hey, give me the pasta aisle N-word, please. Fucking Chris Cuomo. Speaking of Fredo's, when I started this tour, Cuomo was still governor, and he had a curfew at 11 p.m. I guess that was his molesting hour, you know? That's when the hands come out. And now they've both been let go. They've both been fucking, their jobs have been ended. It's so funny. I was in St. Louis, and they're famous for this dish called toasted ravioli. That's the famous dish, toasted ravioli. And this waitress, would you like some toasted ravioli? I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's what we call a Cuomo in New York when they've been fired. I like that joke. Okay, good. And the second comment I get is, why does he laugh at his own jokes? Why does he laugh at his own jokes? Well, for one, they're funny. And two, I'm having fun up here. And three, most importantly, listen, comedy audience, this is going to sound arrogant, but I'm better at comedy than all of you. None of you could do this at the rate I'm doing it as good as... hear me out. Some of you are in disbelief. I'm just telling you that, and that's not just performing and writing jokes, etc. I mean, I understand comedy better than all of you. I know what's funny better than all of you, okay? So if I'm laughing at something, just follow my lead, okay? Just trust me. It reminds me of when, like, people talk shit about LeBron. LeBron made a bad basketball decision. Bro, you just put on pants. What the fuck are you talking about? LeBron, I would have paid. Look, when it comes to bad basketball decisions, LeBron is LeBron. The rest of us are Ben Simmons. Do you understand? That's a good joke for Philly fans. Keeping it. I've always been funny. I was raised in a funny household. My grandma is like one of the funniest people to ever exist. One time, she whooped my ass with like a veil on. A valen, if you don't know, Cynthia, is a very thin rolling pin and is used to roll roti and puri and shit. She beat my ass with this thing to the point where my ass was red. And then 4 hours later, I had to eat the puri that she had made. What's funnier than that? Here you go. Grandpa is the reason I'm funny. He taught me English. He taught me English because he was born in 1926 colonial India. The Brits beat it into him, and then he beat it into me. And that's why I do comedy. He was the first person to ever tell me a joke. And I don't know the joke, but goes in Gujarati, which is the language I speak. Maybe some of you older Gujarati people might know this. You're not old. He said he graduated in 1997. I'm surprised you're not dead right now, bro. 1997? What year were you born, Nakey? 98. 98. You old as shit, man. Fuck. It's all right. It's okay, man. It's okay, Nimesh. I know life is hard. That baseball hat ain't fooling nobody. It's all right. As is, maybe you might know this joke. Maybe, do you know the joke about Loco and Buso? Loco and Buso is the Gujarati version of Who's on First. These two guys named Write and Erase go to a train station and try to get on this train, and they're talking to the conductor like, "Hey, write my name." And the guy's like, "Write what?" Listen, I'm not going to do it any justice. First of all, I don't know the joke in Gujarati, let alone try to translate a Gujarati joke I don't know, but you guys get it. See, they get it. Marunam lakho, sulakhu, buso, what am I going to do? You know what I'm talking about, right? Don't worry, guys.
But yeah, that was the first joke he ever told me.
He died last week. It's okay. Thank you for your concern. This is how I process things. I process through jokes. I told jokes at his funeral. They crushed. You realize growing up that all the shit is funny, and like if you recognize irony, you know? My grandpa was also one of the first people to ever teach my cousins and I yoga. He called it Surya Namaskar, which means sun salutations. We were 7 and 8 years old, and he would bend over and be like, "This is what you got to do." He'd stick his ass out, and me and my cousin would be like, "Ew, butts," and we'd run away. Come to find out, 20 years later, we'd be in front of a yoga studio like, "Butts." Fucking didn't listen. I was writing jokes when he died. I was prepping for a set I had that evening, a corporate gig, and in my head, I was like, "I'll call him in 10 minutes when I'm done with this shit, check in on him." 5 minutes after I thought that to myself, I got a call from my sister. "Hey, you need to come home. It's just not looking good. You got to come home." And he died by the time I got home. And one of my biggest regrets is that I couldn't lean into his ear for one last time and be like, "Narendra Modi is trash." That's what I wanted to do. Narendra Modi is the Prime Minister of India, and if you're a 1926 born Gujarati person, Narendra Modi is like your fucking dude. He's like, offended your brother. Your brother is a Modi. He's a Modi stan. You're a Modi fan. Fuck you, dog. I don't give a fuck. This whole table could leave right now, and it won't matter. I get paid regardless. I'm going to treat you the way Modi treats Muslims. Get the fuck out of my house. Get out. Anyway. Been thinking about death. Death is on my mind. You got to laugh at it. Because we're all going to die. People go through mad life, all upset and shit. We're all going to fucking die. I've been thinking about death, not only because my grandpa died last week, but also because I live in Brooklyn. And it's changed. It's going back to where it was before people used to say it's changed. In my neighborhood of Park Slope, there was a lady was walking into a bodega, a sandwich shop, and her lover, this other lady, shot her in the back of the head, point blank. And I can't think of anything more Park Slope than a lesbian murder. And the fucked up part is, it was my bodega. It's a sandwich shop I go to. So now I was confronted with, how long do I wait? How long would you wait? Months? Your sandwich shop must suck ass, bro. Months? I waited 12 hours. People going to get got, you know what I mean? And I get into this bodega and I realize, like, you need perspective to understand death and be okay with it. So I step into this bodega, and there's a dude reading a copy of the New York Post. Now, in the New York Post is the description of the murder that had happened in the bodega that he is standing in. I'm like, bro, just ask the guy. You have the primary source of information. The guy Muhammad in the article is standing directly in front of you. You gotta pay Muhammad to read about Muhammad. Just fucking just talk to Muhammad, bro. What are you talking about? And Muhammad is talking to the guy reading the New York Post. And the guy goes, man, when I heard that gunshot, I was really fucking terrified. Muhammad goes, punk, when I heard that fucking gunshot, I wasn't scared at all. Why are you scared? You're a grown-ass man. And then Guillermo, the sandwich maker, makes fun of Muhammad. He's like, man, you when you heard that gunshot, you went, like a little bitch. And all three of them had a big laugh about the murder that had just happened. And I couldn't understand why these dudes had so much perspective. And then it clicked in my brain. Guillermo's from Guatemala. And people get shot buying sandwiches all the time in Guatemala. And Muhammad's from Yemen. They don't have sandwiches in Yemen, okay? If you're not laughing at that, your problem is not with me. Your problem is with Saudi Arabia, okay? I didn't cause no blockade. I couldn't believe it. Motherfucker just laughing. Blood still drying. I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, yo, let me get turkey cheddar. Where is that laugh? That's you? What's your name?
Jay.
Jay and? How you know each other?
Friends.
Your friends, okay. She put that down before he put his drink down. We're friends. Sonny just found out you're friends. Split the check here, please. That's a good laugh. If I'm doing a joke and I don't hear that laugh, I'll know it wasn't good. Because that sounds like a hearty... What's that? You got to hear it every day. Why do you got to hear it every day? She works for you. Oh, that's why you're friends. Friends with health benefits. You guys big drinkers? It's nothing to be proud of. You know why you drink? To have fun, right? I drink because fun is over. People drink to drown their demons. That's what they say. That's why people drink for real. Problem is, demons float. They're made of nothing. They're like fart bubbles in your swim trunks. You know what I mean? They're going to come up. Got to address what's causing that shit. And don't get me wrong. I love alcohol. I owe my whole life to alcohol. My dad has a liquor store. You know what I mean? Paid for everything I ever did as a kid. It was so weird. My mom discovered I was drinking freshman year at NYU. She found a bottle of whiskey in my fridge when she was moving some shit in. And she was like, I never thought my son would drink. What is this? I'm like, Mom, we have a liquor store, bro. What are you talking about? Supporting the family business here. Are the college kids here? Where you at, college kids? Your college? Your parents tell you not to drink and shit? Not really. What about you guys? Where are you at, college kids? Your parents ever tell you not to drink? No. What kind of parents you have? Alcohol will ruin your fucking life. It will. My cousin was set. He went to Rutgers. Was set on being an investment banker when he started freshman year. And the freshman year, he got blackout drunk. Ended up in a hospital in Philadelphia, an hour and a half away. Till this day, we have no idea how he got there. Woke up the next morning, had to have his stomach pumped, fucking medical bills out the ass, ruined his fucking life. You know what he is now? Fucking loser-ass orthopedic surgeon, okay? Alcohol will ruin your life. Are there religious people in the room? Clap if you're religious. Wow. You godless fucks. The fuck happened to you? Who do you blame for all your problems? Yourselves? No wonder y'all been drinking so much. Just blame God. It's so much more fun. People leave religion all the time, which makes sense to me, because religion requires practice. You gotta practice your religion. Everyone's walking around thinking that Allen Iverson, you're not. It's a joke for seven people, but that works. That's good. Practice? You're talking about practice. Practice? I've been talking across this country, talking a lot of shit about Christianity, and Christians get real upset. And it's like, bro, I talk shit about Christianity because this country was apparently, allegedly founded on Christian ideals, right? That's what they tell us. America was founded on Christian ideals. And I know this to be true because I've traveled the entire country and seen churches everywhere, especially in places God clearly left a long time ago. And I was in Tampa, Florida. And Tampa is home to the mega churches of this country. And this pastor lady got up, stormed out, and waited for me at the end of the show. And she was like, I don't like what you said, okay? I was like, she's like, I'll see you in the afterlife. I was like, no, you won't. She's like, oh, yeah, that's right. You guys get reincarnated, right? You're probably going to come back as an ant. And I was like, I should be so lucky to come back as an ant. You know ants never have traffic? Ants, they never have traffic. There's never traffic. There's never a fucking ant accident, a bunch of other ants driving by like, hey, who the fuck is that going on? Isn't that never happens. I wish I could be an ant. I would trade second term Barack Obama for an ant, bro. No traffic. But that's not what I said to her. I wish I said that. That's not what I said. What I said was, they let women be pastors? I know I've said some shit about Christianity, and, you know, if I were worried about your stupid-ass religion, I would apologize, but... He's going to hell. No, I ain't. This shit ain't real. I don't live by your goofy-ass rules. People leave religion all the time. I respect religious people. I do. I truly do. Anyone who guides their life by some kind of ideology that tries to make them a better person, I truly respect that. But some of these rules that make people like go crazy, you have to understand they're written by losers. Like, thou shalt not lust, definitely written by someone who got no pussy whatsoever, right? Thou shalt not be vain. Yeah, you ugly as fuck, bro. Who the fuck are you? Tell me. Thank you. Thank you. This is going to fuck up the continuity, but fuck it. Who cares? We're filming all this for I don't know why. Yeah, you're all on camera. Aha, Nimesh. Nimesh Patel cancels other Nimesh Patel? How did this happen? Okay, Nimesh, relax. Nimesh to a Nimesh. Listen, I've never kicked myself out of a show before. But you're on that track. You're on the path, Nimesh. Nimesh, relax. I've had this conversation with myself all the time. Hey, man, chill. It's going to be fine, bro. You don't got to fuck him up. No, fuck him up. No, don't worry, man. It's going to be fine, Nimesh. Just chill out. Smoke some weed. Olivia, what are you studying?
I am an opera singer.
You're an opera singer? Good God. I have to, right? I have... One note.
Come on, Olivia. Hold on.
Can you say fuck you, Nimesh? Oh, that was fucking beautiful. That was fucking ridiculous. I cannot believe that happened. I'm religious because my parents are religious. I'm religious because my dad's religious because he's been shot at. And my mom's religious because my dad's been shot at. I'm Hindu, which is the lazy man's religion. It is. It's the lazy man's religion. Because if I don't fix myself now, I'll just do it in the next life, bro. I get a fucking mulligan so many times, bro. I almost left Hinduism as a kid because my mom would get up at like 8 o'clock in the morning and start playing prayer songs. I'm like, Mom, for a Hindu, you acting mad Muslim right now, bro. What the fuck is all this shit, man? And my dad would be like, it's fine, just eat some chicken. We'll be okay. All right, bro. That's what it is. My grandpa was a priest. My grandpa was a priest, but not like these money laundering priests, you know? There's a Hindu priest I've seen once or twice that he would always be like, yeah, Hinduism says you must give up all your worldly possessions and donate yourself to God. I'm like, bro, you got 3 gold chains on right now. Didn't you pull up in a Benz? What the fuck are you talking about? My grandpa was a priest. He never had those gold chains and shit, but he would always come on with mad stacks of cash and hand off some to me and my cousins, and we'd reincarnate that into Wendy's spicy chicken sandwiches. That's how we lived our lives. You know what I mean? There's this group of Hindus that I'm very upset at. These BAPS people. Are there some BAPS in the room? Where the BAPS at? Hey, tell your people I said, fuck you, bro. BAPS is a religious sect of Hinduism. B-A-P-S. It stands for bullshit-ass praying swindlers. That's what it stands for. These motherfuckers built a $10 million temple in New Jersey. Not too far from here. A $10 million temple in New Jersey. But instead of using labor from the United States and paying it fair wage, they imported lower caste labor from India, kept them on temple grounds, paid them nothing, and said, God wanted you to do it this way. Sidebar, that's the most American shit I've ever heard, but... If you're BAPS in the room, come on stage, I'll fight your malnourished ass. All of you. Fucking vegans. No refunds, bitch. The only thing that's spreading faster than Omicron is the number of Patels in this room right now. We are rampant. We are all up in this motherfucker. When I was growing up, there was a weird moment where it was for like three or four years, being a Patel was like, oh, okay, this is a fucking Patel. We heard that name before. And then I guess one cousin called every one of the other cousins. I was taping my special, and this lady, at the end of the taping, while I was doing my encore, she threw a note on stage and said, hey, I'm writing a book about the thousand years of Patels and our history of the Patels, and now I'm going to steal her idea. Which is the most Patel thing I could possibly do. Traveling across this country has made me realize that Americans do not deserve health care. We don't. We need it. We certainly need health care because we're fucking dumb. I was in Texas. I was in Dallas, Texas, and I saw a ham salad on the breakfast menu. Ham salad, chicken, waffles. That's not a breakfast order. That's something you get on death row. You understand? Even then, the warden would be like, hey, man, you got to watch your cholesterol, bro. You can't be... What the fuck are you doing eating all this shit? I don't respect doctors. I think you get too much fucking credit. They do. You know, I understand. And look, I talk so much shit about doctors. I was like, you're just jealous. You're not smart enough to become a doctor. Every doctor knows at least one doctor. We're like, yo, how the fuck did this guy become a doctor? I could have easily been that dumbass. Doctors ain't shit. I know there's some doctors in the room. Are there doctors in the room? Clap if you're a doctor. You're a doctor? You're a doctor? You're a doctor? Where are you at? What kind of doctor are you? You're a med student. There's still time to get out. I think most doctors are good people. They want to help, and then that cash comes. They're like, you know what? Fuck people. I understand. I like money, too. One of my cousins asked me, what would you do for $1 billion? I said, I would murder my pediatrician for $1 billion, bro. I will murder that motherfucker in front of his patients. But yeah, that's what happens, bitch. That's what happens. That's what slapped me when I was born, motherfucker. Nate, you got any hobbies?
Not really.
I only ask, I just started biking. Me and my friends, we started a bike gang. We meet up and say racist but accurate things about the Hasidic Jews together. Racist but highly accurate things about the Hasidic Jews. Straight from the New York Post. Hasidic Jews are having super spreader parties. They are having super spreader parties. These Hasidic Jews are buying up all of Williamsburg. They are buying all of Williamsburg. And then I read these Hasidic Jews, these Hasidic Orthodox Jews, are pro-Palestine. And I was like, what? That's mind-blowing. Yeah, they think that Israel is going against the Old Testament by not letting Palestine have its own statehood. And I read this fact, and I was like, oh, fuck. You know what? These Hasidic Jews, they can bite all the baby dicks they want, okay? Oh, you don't know that story? Oh, y'all don't know that? There was a rampant outbreak of baby herpes in the Hasidic Jewish community because these moils, instead of performing circumcision with tools, they would use their teeth. Which means at some point in the future, there's going to be some 17-year-old Hasidic kid about to get married. And his wife's gonna be like, did you cheat on me? I got herpes. He's like, no, baby. A moil sucked my dick. You guys are soft as shit, man. That shit is gold. Gold. Any military people here, by the way? Clap if you're in the military. None? Wow. Maybe the sniping in the back. One more word, brown boy. It's so funny we lost the war in Afghanistan. We lost to a bunch of heroin dealers. Fucking crazy. We lost a bunch of fucking heroin dealers. This shit is sad as fuck. I quit drinking, but I did start doing a lot more drugs, and it's been a lot of fun. I talk about doing drugs so much that people ask me, hey, man, you should probably go to therapy. I tried therapy, but therapy is $250 a session, and Molly's about $20 a dose. So I'll just get high and Google questions to ask myself. You ever done Molly before? How old are you? 30? It's time. Molly is a fantastic drug. I'd quit doing that shit. But it's a good drug. Two problems with it. One is it comes in powder form. So it could be Molly or it could be fentanyl. But I'm an optimist. And two, it makes you very generous. Like too generous. It's a very loving, giving drug. You don't give a fuck about anything. You just love everybody. You do anything for anybody. This came to a head in Miami. My cousins and I went for a bachelor party. And we went to Miami 2 weekends in a row. did Molly for two nights in a row during the peak of the pandemic. You still think Americans deserve healthcare? We fucked up. And you're not supposed to drink alcohol on Molly because it dehydrates you. You're supposed to drink water. And we're at this bachelor party, and this waitress comes up to us, and she's like, "You guys want a bottle of vodka? You guys want a bottle of vodka?" And we're like, "Nah, nah, 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 nah. But give us 100 waters." 6 cousins, 100 waters. Started handing that out like Drake and God's Plan. Just, "Here you go, water for you. Water for you. You want some water? Stay wet, baby." We just fucking say it. This is wild shit. And at the same party, I see this 21-year-old Indian girl crying. And the big brother in me kicks in right away. I'm like, "What happened? Someone fucking sniff your hair? I'll fuck him up right now." And she's like, "No, someone stole my purse. It was $500 in there." I was like, "It's only money. I'll give you $500. She's like, "It's not only money. It's my rent." I was like, "Your rent's only $500? We gotta keep your apartment. You're gonna die in this motherfucker, yo." I opened up my Venmo. I had $8. I was like, "You know what? Have some water. Give me no fucking $500. Olivia, do you do drugs?
Yes, sir.
You good. What was your drug of choice?
Quaaludes.
What the fuck? Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Cosby. Someone say Quaaludes. Weed is my drug of choice. I smoke weed quite a bit. Hindu Kush is my favorite. Hindu Kush, I was smoking it the other day, and I was like, "Oh, this shit is perfect." Hindu Kush. Kush means happiness in Sanskrit and in Hindi. I'm smoking this shit. I'm like, "Oh, this shit is fucking dope. Hindu Kush. I'm smoking Hindu Happiness 101. And then I looked it up. I was like, "Why is this shit called Hindu Kush?" And it's because this weed comes from a region in Afghanistan, India, and Pakistan where they used to trade Indian slaves. And so many slaves died that they called it Hindu Kush, because Hindu Kush means Hindu killer. I'm smoking this shit like, "Nah, I'm going to just keep lying to myself, man." Oh, God, that shit. You right here, Indian lady, looks concerned. Are you with your parents? How old are you? You're 24. This is your brother, I'm guessing. 21. 16? Mom and Dad, who brought who? Mom, you brought your family because of me? Wow. Well, well, well. I'm about to corrupt your children. Although I'm sure they... Are they drink? Do they drink? And Mom's shaking her head. No. Daughter's like, "Yeah." This is a classic communication issue. What's your name, Mom? Anita. What do you do, sir? You're a financial advisor. And what about you, Anita? You work for a medical dispensary? Shreya, you fucking burying the lead over here, bro. Of course you do drugs. You sell weed. You ever smoked before? You don't do the... You've never done drugs. Ever. It's a dream of mine is to get high with my parents. I'm 35 and I'm successful. There's nothing they could really say anymore, but my parents should have known at a very early age that I was going to have fun with drugs. In fourth grade, I got in trouble for selling drugs at school. Sugar. And there was this candy called Raven's Revenge. I don't know if you guys are aware of this or remember this. There was candy called Raven's Revenge. It was powdered sugar that came in a test tube, in like a 100-gram test tube. And me and my cousin would go to the Hot Topic. We steal all this fucking Raven's Revenge, eat all the sugar, and then we go home, pack it with Jell-O powder, and then go to school and flip that shit. And we were so rich, we made like $20. And one day, some white kid's parents were going through his backpack looking for a gun, I presume, and they found this 100-gram test tube full of white powder. And they called my cousin and I in. The principal was there, and they called this cop in and my mom in. And the cop pulls out this test tube. He's like, you know, we know this isn't what we think it is, but, you know, just want to teach you a lesson. And my mom is like, look, these two idiots, I'll deal with them at home. But you understand that no one would be dumb enough to sell cocaine for 2 cents a gram. You understand that shit? And my cousin and I, after she chews out this cop, we walk outside and we think we got away with it. My mom looks at us, does the most Indian shit ever. She's like, where's my fucking money? Thank you guys, that's my time. This has been great. Fuck you.